Bibles with you this morning. I invite you to follow along with me in Matthew in the fifth chapter, Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to finish up today a series that we've been doing on the Beatitudes. Now, I know that this week I've kind of heard around on the streets and social media here in Vicksburg and everything, and one of the kind of hot topics has been Miss Holly Brannon. Our Miss Mississippi, right? Making it on The Voice and all those kind of things. That's been kind of a hot topic around here and that sort of thing. And so I'll be honest with you, I didn't originally watch that. So I was kind of out of the loop, but kind of heard about it. So I thought I'd go back and rewatch it. And so I went back to rewatch that. And I was really impressed by the young lady who came behind her. One of my new favorites. So I'm kind of rooting for her. Now, nothing against Holly, okay, but I'm just telling you. The next contestant was Miss Tasha Jessen. She's a young lady from Pakistan. She now lives in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Her and her families fled Pakistan under persecution. She was one of the only Christian students in her school. Pakistan is predominantly Islamic, and so if you're a Christian there, you are literally persecuted. She was kept at home. Most after school hours, things like that. She wasn't allowed to attend birthday parties of friends and those kind of things. And her family kind of had to protect her life. And so as Christians, they fled Pakistan, came to the States. She's now gained her citizenship here. And she is in a church. She sings in a praise band there. And God has just really gifted this young lady with a voice. Most of us don't understand what it means, really, to be persecuted. I don't know if any of you ever keep up track of the Voice of the Martyrs. It's an organization. It was began a number of years ago, and back probably in the 60s or so. And they track and they document and kind of highlight Christians being persecuted all over the world. Things that don't make the local news, things that don't make even our national news, things that you're not going to see on Fox or CNN or any of these other news agencies. So one example of a story actually from Pakistan, there was an evangelistic team there in Pakistan. They were conducting outreach in several of the cities. This was just last summer, 2022. And some of the materials that were distributed during the outreach efforts were discovered by some of the Islamic leaders, and so they confiscated those things, and they began to try to track where they were coming from and who had put these things out. And so the team had asked for prayers that the evil plan against God's people would be changed, and that those who received those evangelistic materials would actually, after they had confiscated those things, that they would actually read them and come to know Christ. And so when we think about, you know, the fact that we get to come to church, right? We live in the United States. We have a freedom of religion. We come and we exercise our religion, all those kind of things. And I understand, you know, they say, oh, we've taken prayer out of school and all those kind of things. And I promise you, in school, if we had tests and I prayed. Okay? And I know kids are still praying today even, right? We pray more than we study sometimes. But listen, we really don't understand what it means to be persecuted for the cause of Christ. Now, we hear a lot about Christian bashing. That's kind of a popular thing, even among Christians. I find it kind of interesting. We've had this great revival breakout at Asbury, and I've even seen Christian leaders criticizing what was taking place there. So even among churches, even among so-called Christians, we try to bash what other Christians are doing when they're doing something that we're not. And so we get some of that kind of stuff, but to really experience persecution. Think about it. Those who are persistently persecuted for their relationship with Christ. I think about Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. Times may have changed since the first century, but men's hearts are hard. And man, when the gospel of Jesus Christ goes out, man, the devil goes to work. And I wonder sometimes in American church life, in American Christianity, I wonder sometimes if the reason that we are not experiencing persecution like Christians are all over the world is because so little of what we do is really of God. Did you hear me? So much of what we do is quote unquote church. But so little of what we do is really of God. I mean, honestly, the world could care less that we're gathered here this morning, singing our songs, preaching our sermons, having our little classes. What the world would get upset about is if we walk out of the four walls of this church and we begin to live out what we talk about in this place. If we begin to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we begin to try to impact our communities, then and only then would the devil ever care. I mean, man, we're exactly where the devil wants us, you know, just gathered up in our little holy huddles. But it's when we break huddle and try to run the play, that's when we get the devil's attention. And so this morning, a lot of what we experience in our church life, our Christian life, is far from what the rest of the world is experiencing. So let's look at the text this morning here in Matthew chapter 5 in verse 10. And notice this is the last of the Beatitudes. And it really doesn't necessarily have to do with our attitude as much as just how we're treated because of our relationship with Christ. It says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now, before we really get too deep into this, let me just tell you and remind you that we're talking about persecution, not punishment. A lot of times what we say is being persecution, we're really being punished and chastened by God. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19, it says this. It says, "For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God." So Peter's saying, you know, there's some things that we endure, and it's not necessarily persecution. There's some things we're enduring because it's the consequences of our own sin. Okay, I remember we had a young guy that was really kind of got off out in the left field, and I had to kind of call him in on it, and had to take him out of a leadership role, and he said, "Well, you know, the Bible says we're going to be persecuted," and I said, "Whoa, wait a minute, brother," I said, "I am not persecuting you. What we're doing here is we're addressing a wrong in your life. You're not being persecuted because you did something right. We're talking about discipline because you did something wrong." Okay? There is a difference, right? And that's what the scriptures point out. In fact, he says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." For the fact that what we've done was according to the word of God. Not because we messed up. Okay? So we need to make sure that we note that difference. Now, Martin Lloyd-Jones, he says this. He says, this beatitude tests our ideas as to what the Christian is. He says, the Christian is like his Lord, and this is what our Lord said about him. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Martin Lloyd-Jones goes on to say, he says, and yet it is not our idea of what we call the perfect Christian nearly always that he is a nice, popular man who never offends anybody and is so easy to go on with. But if this beatitude is true, that it is not the real Christian, because the real Christian is a man who is not praised by everybody. They did not praise our Lord, and they will never praise the man who is like him. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you. That is what they did to the false prophets. They did not do that to Christ himself. If we're going to stand up for righteousness, there's going to be some people that's not going to be very happy with us. We're not always going to be praised and popular and all those kind of things. But think about it this morning. Man, we all want to be liked, right? We all want everybody to love us, right? We think if we're good Christians, then everybody will love us and everybody will accept us. Hey, did you ever think about Paul? Man, the Bible says that Paul, everywhere Paul went, a riot broke out. Okay? Think about it. Everywhere Paul went, a riot broke out. Not a very popular guy. Not a very well-liked guy. Him and Peter and others, man, thrown in prison, all these kind of things. That's not what we expect today, right? He says here in this last part of verse 12, he says, so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Think about who he's talking about here. He's talking about men like Abel and Noah. He's talking about men like Abraham and Moses. Men like Samuel and David and Isaiah. Men like Jeremiah and Daniel. You think about all of those men and you think about how godly they were. How God used them in a great and a mighty way. And yet they all suffered some form of persecution. They were all put down. And we think, man, if I live this Christian life, man, I'm going to be elevated above the fray. And I'm never going to have any problems. And everybody's going to love me because, right? Wrong. The scriptures just tell us that's just not how it is. Hey, have you ever thought about the apostles? Those that were in the inner circle with Jesus? I mean, these were men who walked with Jesus for 3 years, right? So everybody loves them, right? Well, let's just think about it this morning. James, he was beheaded. Well, that's a blessing, right? Philip was crucified. Matthew, he was killed by a sword. The other James, he was stoned to death. Doesn't mean that he was taking drugs. It means that they threw rocks at him, okay? Matthias was kind of the last guy in. And even Matthias, the historian tells, was stoned and then beheaded just to make sure. Okay? That's a double blessing, right? And then Andrew was crucified and left hanging on the cross for 3 days. Peter was crucified. Peter said, I'm not going to be like my Lord. So they said, okay, we'll do it better. We'll turn you upside down. So he was crucified upside down. Paul was beheaded by Nero in Rome. Jude was crucified. Bartholomew was beaten to death with clubs. Thomas, he was speared to death. Simon the Zealot was crucified. John, the great writer of Revelation, and all, was exiled to the island Patmos. Was finally delivered. He was the only one that died of old age. The rest of them all died horrible deaths. all of them were persecuted mercifully. So, here's a good question for us this morning. Who wants to be a follower of Jesus? Raise your hand. Right? Right? That's what we're looking for. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Well, I don't want to be persecuted. I'll take everything else that Jesus has to offer. I like all the mercy and the grace. I like all the health and the holiness and the happiness. I like all that. But I don't sign up for persecution. Think about even after Stephen. Remember Stephen? Stephen went and he preached. And the Bible says that Stephen was even stoned to death. Stephen was stoned to death. George Gallup, one of the leading researchers in our land today, George Gallup shared with a group of church leaders that the lifestyle of Christians in America is little different than the rest of the American culture. He states this. Gallup said, only 2 in 10 Christians said they would be willing to suffer for their faith. 2 in 10 would be willing to suffer for their faith. Now, I know it's a nasty day today. I know that it's difficult for some people to get out in the weather and all those kind of things. Praise God we have radio. Praise God we have, you know, Facebook and live streaming and all those kind of things where people can be safe. And there's some people that don't need to be out, right? But think about how little we're really willing to endure for the things of God. Think about how comfortable we really want to be in our Christianity. We don't want to be challenged in our thinking. We resist being challenged in how we do Christianity. We get challenged in how we've always done it. And so think about how little we really want to stretch ourselves and to put ourselves out there for the cause of Christ. And so really, when Gallup says there's 2 in 10 that would be willing to suffer persecution for their faith, I'm thinking, 2 out of 10, I guess we're doing better than I thought we were. So this persecution, it's something that we're really not accustomed to experiencing. But here's what Jesus says. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Now let's think about this persecution. What we're really talking about here. Jesus identifies 3 kind of particular forms of opposition that we face. Notice, first of all, he uses the word persecution. Blessed are those who are persecuted. This word means to be pursued or to be chased down, to be harassed, to be pressured. It was used for chasing down criminals, okay? So to be persecuted means that you are chased down, hunted down. You're like a criminal, okay? You're a wanted person. They want to find you and they want to punish you. Job in Job 30 and verse 15 says this, "Terrors are turned upon me. They pursue my honor as the wind, and my prosperity has passed like a cloud." And Job experienced this persecution where he felt like he'd been hunted down, man. The devil was just hot on his trail. It seemed like everywhere he went, the devil was right there behind him, you know? That's a life of that persecution. You see, what we need to understand from that is this, from Job's life is this, that all forms of persecution doesn't mean that it's going to be somebody else that's persecuting you. The devil is in the persecution business. The devil doesn't want you to be happy. The devil doesn't want you to experience the joy of your salvation. And there's a lot of Christians today who seem like they're on the run. They're living in fear of the devil. I mean, I talk to people who have been Christians for years, and it seems as though they feel like the devil is lurking around every corner. And they live life in this constant fear. Listen, that is a persecution of the devil, and God has delivered you from that. Amen. Praise God, amen? He says, listen, we have to be willing to endure that. We don't need to go through life afraid of the devil. We need to be willing to stand against him. And so then again, there's these insults. He says here, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And then he says in verse 11, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you. He's talking about talking. People are saying things. People are saying things about you, things to you. It's insults. It means to cast into the teeth, literally. It means hurling an insult. It means that Christians can expect to be made the punchline of jokes. That we're subject to open ridicule. You ever been offended when you watch something on television or you watch a movie and they put down and make Christians look like knuckleheads? You ever get offended by that? Well, you shouldn't be shocked by it. The Bible says they're going to do it, okay? What we ought to do is say, you know what? Let them make fun of me. I can take it. God's gifted me to take that. God's given me strength to endure that. Here's another good verse in Psalms 37 in verse 12. It says, the wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. Gnashes at him with his teeth. As I was reading that, I just thought popped in my head. And sometimes you'd be amazed at some of the thoughts that pop in my head that I don't share with you. But one of my wife's favorite verses in Psalms, and I wish I knew it well enough to go back. It said, Lord, just knock their teeth out, basically, is what it's saying. You know? Hey, man, these people are persecuted. Man, they're gnashing at you with their teeth. It's okay. Because God says, blessed are those who are persecuted. It's kind of like when Ron and I first got married, I was in the insurance business. I was going to say I sold insurance. I didn't really sell a lot of insurance. Played a lot of golf, but I didn't sell a lot of insurance. But I remember going to this house one day, and I got to the door, and I heard this noise behind me, and I looked, and it was this great big Doberman behind me. And he was growling, and I thought, oh, man, I'm going to be eaten alive, man. And so I'm like between the screen door and the door, hoping these people will open the door. They never opened the door. They never came to the door. And so I thought, man, what am I? And so the dog finally went around the back of the house, and I ran to my car and got in. And so later I came back by, and these people were outside, and I thought, oh, they're outside. So I stopped, and the dog's out there barking. I rolled the window down. I was like, does your dog bite? He said, don't matter if he does. Don't have any teeth. Hey, listen, they can persecute you, they can talk about you, they can ridicule you, but guess what? God's blessings are better than their attacks. Amen? We don't have to fear that. We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to let those things bother us. And then there's this all kinds of evil. I like in verse 12, it says this, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets, and they'll persecute you. I'm sorry, go back in verse 11. It says, the evil against you falsely for my sake. All kinds of evil. So there's just this whole myriad of things that the devil's going to do. All this whole myriad of things that people are going to attack you with. In Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 5, look at this. It says, then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before. Look at this. The fifth time. Hey, has somebody ever just nagged at you so much you thought, good lands, would you let it go, please? That's what he said. Nehemiah says, man, this guy has been on my case. And here it is, the fifth time, with an open letter in hand. It was written. Now, you've never been blessed if you hadn't had a written letter written about you, okay, and put out on the internet or whatever. It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says, that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, listen to this, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. Anybody ever started any false rumors about you? Anybody ever started any true rumors about you? Really doesn't matter if they're true or false, right? It's those all kinds of evil that's being conjured up about God's people. And so we face all these various persecutions and these various attacks, verbal and physical, and some that are just made up. And sometimes it's not what's being said, it's what you think is being said. That's a great persecution. Man, we go to bed at night and it's on our minds and we're thinking, well, what are people saying and what will people say about this? And so we fall under that persecution. And none of this should be strange to us. The Bible says we should really expect these kind of things. It happened in Jesus' day. It happened to Jesus. And it's the same devil today as he was then. The devil doesn't change either. Okay? Here's a good verse in John chapter 3. John in the third chapter, oftentimes we think about John 3:16, 3:17, where he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. Look what he says in verse 19. In John chapter 3 and verse 19, he says, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." Evil does what evil does. Evil operates in the realm of darkness. And there is this constant battle between light and darkness. We're foolish to think that as the light of the world, that we can go out and share the light of Jesus Christ and never face any opposition from darkness. Darkness is constantly trying to overtake the light. But we have to be consistent in our witness to carry the light into the dark world. I heard about a lady who came to her pastor. She was quite concerned about her working situation, and she was complaining about how she was being treated at work, and she wanted the pastor to pray for her to get a better job, to get a new job. And the pastor asked her a question. He said, "Well, let me ask you this." He said, "Where do you put a light bulb?" She said, "Preacher, I'm not worried about where we're going to put the lights. I want to know where God's going to, you know, how God's going to open this door, get me out of here so that I can get a better job." And he asked her again. He said, "That's fine." He said, "But first, where do we put a light bulb?" And finally, she said, "I guess you put a light where it's dark." And he said, "Maybe God's put you where it's dark." Ouch. Maybe rather than us wanting to find a new situation, maybe we need to be the light in the situation we find ourselves in. And just realize that, guess what? Persecution is part of what we're going to experience here on earth. We live by this old adage, you know, it's grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Yeah. The Bible says in John chapter 15 and verse 18, it says this: "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." Why would we ever expect to be treated any differently than Jesus himself was treated? Why do you think the world's going to love you more than they love Jesus? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So we expect that persecution. We take that and we understand that it's part of our walk. It's part of our testimony. But for most of us, it's not the fact that we're not willing to be persecuted, be put to death. Some of us have a hard time living for Christ, right? Hey, listen. Let's be honest this morning. We got it pretty good, right? Got up this morning, temperature in the house just about like I wanted it, right? Man, it was thundering and lightning and pouring down rain outside. I didn't get wet till I got in the shower. You know, roof didn't leak. Got in the car. It started on the first try. Drove to church. Came inside. Everything works. Had clothes in the closet to put on this morning. So where am I suffering for Jesus? My struggle is living like God wants me to live in the best of situations. I praise God this morning that I've not been challenged to live like Christ in the worst of situations. And so it's really an alarm clock for me this morning to realize, hey, if you can't do it in the best of circumstances, how much more or how much less would you be able to do if you really had to face persecution? And I realized this morning, my challenge is to live for the glory and honor of God in the best of circumstances. In the third chapter of 2 Timothy, Paul writes to young Timothy, and he describes this situation that Paul describes as the last days. Friends, I believe we're living in the last days of the last days. Okay? And here's what Paul writes to young Timothy. He says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra." Again, Paul said, everywhere I went, man, I suffered, I struggled. He said, "What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me." The Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So my thought is this. If I'm living in Christ Jesus, I should expect persecution. And if I'm not experiencing persecution, how little am I living then in Christ? That's just for me. I don't know if that applies to you or not. So Lord, why is it that I'm not experiencing persecution? People say, well, you know what? Preacher's going to come today, man. When if you stand up and preach those kind of things, you'll end up in jail. Paul ended up in jail. Should I be better than Paul? Should I be find more favor and be better treated than Paul would be? Oh, man, in the last days, preacher, it's going to be bad. It was bad in Paul's day. Why shouldn't we expect that? Listen, I'm well convinced if the Lord tarries his coming, we're going to face greater and greater persecution. Now, I know this is really blessing your heart this morning, right? I mean, you're going to go home and say, "Woo, praise God, man, I'm looking forward to persecution," right? Doesn't sound very motivating, right? But listen, the reality is God says, blessed are those who are persecuted. You see, our joy, our hope, our faith, our future, our tomorrow is not limited to life on this earth. Think about it. For those who are not believers in Christ Jesus, life on earth is the best it'll ever be. Think about it. For those who don't follow Christ, life on earth is the best life they'll ever have. It's not going to get better after this. For those of us who follow Christ, this is the worst life will ever be. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, this is the worst that life will ever be for us. Because after this, man, we live in the presence and the glory of God forever and ever. Amen? And so, even in the face of persecution, we can live with that blessed hope of God's deliverance. Paul says, out of all of these things, God delivered me. I don't have to be in bondage. I don't have to be doom and gloom. I don't have to be down because of persecution. I can still live with hope. I can still live with certainty, knowing that God is going to bless me and that God will deliver me. If not now, one day, once and for all. One day, once and for all. Clarence Jordan said this. He said, it is difficult to be indifferent to a wide awake Christian. You can hate them or love them, but you can't ignore them. Wide awake Christians confront others with the reality of God. You can't be neutral in such cases. And then he says this, these people must be crowned or crucified. Because they are either mighty right or mighty wrong. We're either mighty right or we mighty wrong. In one way or the other, people are going to love you or they're going to hate you. Those who are followers of Christ, we're going to love one another, right? And those who are not, they're not going to like us all that much. But we love them, right? Come on. We love them, right? Bible says so. All right? Don't get lost in this. Well, they hate us, so we hate them. No, that's not it. They may hate us. They hated Jesus. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We love them. They may not like us, but we love them. So here's the big reward. He says here, great is your reward in heaven. I love that, right? Sometimes we talked about this Wednesday night. We read through passages and there's words that we just kind of gloss over, skip over sometimes. But look at this. Great is your reward in heaven. First of all, it's great. Hello? It's great. It's a great reward. Hey, we're not talking. Amen. Give God some praise this morning. Listen, have you ever gotten one of those things in the mail that said you won a prize? And they gave like three prizes. And there was this big grand prize. And you got the sticker, you know? Bible says, great is your reward. Hey, here's a letter from God. He sent it to us. And He says, if you'll endure, there's a great reward for you. And it's not just some little sticker you can put on your chest. It's great. And it's in heaven. See, we're wanting our rewards here on earth. We want to be rewarded here. Jesus says, don't lay up treasures where moth can eat and rust can destroy. He said, but lay up your treasures in heaven. Our reward is in heaven. Listen, if you think following Jesus, if you think the reward for following Jesus is a new car, you are sadly mistaken. Because that car's going to run out of gas. It's going to break down. You're going to have a wreck, all those kinds of things. If you think the blessing for following God is a new house, you're sadly mistaken, friends. Those things don't last forever. Got to mow the yard. Got to do maintenance. toilet stops up. All kind of blessings come with that, right? That's not the reward that we want. Our reward is in heaven. Okay. Great is our reward. Listen to this verse in Luke chapter 6 and verse 22. It says this: blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Now, it's one thing just to be a rascal and everybody talk bad about you. But when people talk about you because of Christ's sake, he says we're blessed. So how will all of this trouble that we experience here, how will that compare to all of eternity? Martin Luther says this. He says, when we shall live in that day, we shall look with wonder on one another and say, shame. When we shall live in that day, we shall look at one another and say, shame that we were not of better cheer, braver, stronger, and more joyful to trust Christ and to endure all tribulations and crosses and persecutions, since this glory is so great. Just imagine that. Great is our reward in heaven. And when we get there, we're going to look around and it's going to be so splendid. And it's going to be forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And I don't know how long that is, but it's forever and forever and forever. And we're going to look back on this little speaking of time. And we're going to say, boy, that was nothing. That was nothing compared to the glory that we're experiencing today. Amen?
Amen.
And we're going to look at each other and go, man, we should have suffered more so that we could glory more. Man, we should have endured greater persecution so that we could enjoy even greater praise today. Amen? Blessed are those who are persecuted, for great is their reward in heaven. Notice he goes back to the very first blessing. Back in verse 3, our first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It all starts in heaven, all ends in heaven. Amen? Man, that's the great reward. I want you to look at one last verse this morning. We're going to close. And it's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We've got it on the screen for some of you. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. He says, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven and with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. What Paul's telling us is, it may look like we're losing right now, but in the end, we win. Amen? Amen. I heard about a little fellow who was playing baseball, and his dad came to the game, got there late. And when his dad got there, he walked up behind the dugout and he looked out at the scoreboard and they were getting beat 28 to nothing. He said, my goodness, son. He said, y'all are getting beat 28 to nothing. He said, yeah, Dad, it's not as bad as it looks. We hadn't batted yet. Hello? Looks bad right now, right? We hadn't even got started, folks. We hadn't even got started. Blessed are those who are persecuted, for great is their reward in heaven. Father God, this morning we love you. And Father, we're so grateful this morning that your Son, Christ, came and demonstrated your love toward us, and that while we were yet enemies, he died for us. Lord, you suffered persecution. God, you took all of the mocking and all of the ridicule, all of the shame and all of the embarrassment, and died a cruel death on a cross. God, all of that was mine. That's what I deserve. God, I don't deserve your grace. God, I'm not worthy of your mercy. God, what I deserve is persecution. God, what I deserve is death and shame. And yet, God, you came and took all of that for me. God, you took the eternal punishment on my behalf. And God, this morning I ask you to forgive me. God, for the times when I've not been willing to endure, to persevere. God, the times when I got my feelings hurt. God, the times when I got upset when I didn't get my way. God, for the times when I went to bed thinking about things that people had said about me. And God, I didn't trust you. God, I didn't count it worthy. God, I got self-centered. So God, this morning I ask you, God, just to forgive me. God, to give me strength to persevere. God, give me a willingness, God, to struggle and to suffer for righteousness' sake. God, for your glory and for your honor. God, not for me, but for you. God, I pray that you would help me, Father, to keep my eyes on the prize, the great reward in heaven. God, that the things of this old world don't really matter. God, it's eternity that's most important. And so, Father, this morning, I pray. God, I know this morning there's others. God, this morning, there's some folks that, God, they're looking for answers. They're looking for a way out. God, sometimes the way out is through. God, I pray this morning they'd trust you to just walk with them through the troubles, through the struggles. God, that they would just keep their eyes on you. God, that they would know that your riches, your blessings are greater than all the struggles that we face today. God, that we can put our hope and our trust and our faith in you more than in our situations. So, Father, today we love you, we praise you, we worship and adore you. And we ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen and amen. This morning, Mike's going to come lead us in a hymn of invitation. And God's inviting you this morning to come. All you who labor and are heavy laden, come. I'll give you rest. God wants to give you rest from that. God wants to give you strength and perseverance through those things that you might be facing today. The prayer altars are open. Maybe today you've never trusted Christ, just never simply trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior once and for all. Maybe today you want to just come and give your heart to Jesus. Would you do that today? Some maybe this morning are looking for a new church home. Man, we'd love to have you right here at Trinity. As God leads, would you just be obedient to Him today? As we stand to sing this morning, would you come today? Would you come to Jesus? Come just as you are. Come just as you are. Receive, come and live forever. broken, that God might put you back together again? Would you come down this morning that God might lift you up? Would you come bitter this morning that God might fill you with joy? Would you come this morning lost? Christ may open your eyes that you be found, that you see. And strength for today. I pray God bless you richly for being here today. Pray that God would just guide you through this week. Man, that you'd walk in the newness of life in Him today. Knowing that you're blessed if we struggle through life for righteousness' sake. Amen. Hey, be back tonight, 5 o'clock, for our small group times. We've got some great groups that are meeting, great conversations that we're having. And so it's really a neat part of what we do here. And then Wednesday night, so this Wednesday night, we're going to have our family meeting time. I've been preaching through some unknown, little-known Bible characters on Wednesday nights, and kind of opening up some things in Scripture maybe that you just never paid attention to. And so it's always good to be in God's Word and discover new things. So come and be with us. I pray that God will bless you richly for doing that, okay? All right. Mike?
Sing the chorus of When We All Get to Heaven.
When We All Get to Heaven. Let's do that. That's Amy, and that sounds like a good one. Let's do that.